My name is Arturo Farrell. I am a musician, composer, pianist, and educator. I'm also the founder of Belongo, formerly known as the Afro-Latin Jazz Alliance, and in the next few days, we will be breaking ground on a culture hub in Harlem called Casa Belongo. I'm the Bill Evans Fellow for Jazz and Contemporary Music Studies. I'm the recipient of 6 Grammy Awards and 2 Latin Grammy Awards and have an honorary doctorate from Tufts University. I've also served as distinguished faculty and associate dean at the University of California, Los Angeles. I speak out today in support of the sovereignty of Cuba. The President of the United States and his administration are reinforcing a cruel, decades-old economic blockade and have extended this cruelty to block oil supplies for Cuba. He's also enacted tariffs on nations that are willing to supply oil and humanitarian aid to Cuba. In short, this president is literally starving 10 million Cubans to death. The richest nation on earth is literally watching human beings suffer and die 90 miles south of Key West. Every year, the United Nations passes unanimously a resolution calling on this country demanding that it withdraw this monstrous act of cruelty. The reason given is that Cuba poses a threat to the United States. There's no greater lie. Cuba has no weapons of mass destruction, houses no foreign terrorists, does not traffic in illegal drugs, is not possessing any biological weapons. From 1,000 vantage points, Cuba poses no threat to the United States, not only, but it's actually a nation that loves and respects American culture, producing some of the best baseball players in the world and having an internationally respected jazz festival. Cuba's love with American culture reflects the commitment that Cubans have for all culture, education, and the arts. Cuban institutions have consistently produced some of the world's finest dancers, musicians, writers, and artists of every discipline. Cuba, compared with the United States, has a longer life expectancy, lower infant mortality rate, and one of the highest literacy rates in the world. Cuba poses no threat to the United States, except perhaps for its ego. Quite the opposite, this U.S. presidential administration has attacked every facet of culture, education, the arts and sciences, decimating funding for universities, research laboratories, performing arts centers, and every manner of enlightenment for its own people. The reason for this criminal hatred of the island stems from a repudiation of predatory capitalism. Cuba is a socialist state led by the Communist Party. It is not the playground for the brand of corruption and bribery that we see coming from this White House. The Cuban president and his family are not the recipients of the billions in profits gained from public service. The legislative body of Cuba does not have NRA lobbyists plying them with blood money while children and adults are killed, murdered in mass shootings. Favor with their president, their assembly, or their courts is not for sale to private billionaire citizens who curry that favor by making backdoor deals. Come to think of it, there are other things that Cuba does not have besides mass shootings. The United States, with all its trappings of wealth, is failing its people economically on a grand scale. Millions are living in the streets, and millions more are unable to feed their families, find affordable housing, medical insurance, or enjoy a comfortable retirement. The Cuban government has all kinds of problems, as we all know, and they would be the first to admit, but indifference to human suffering is not its trademark. So the United States has no imminent threat from Cuba. What the United States has is a lopsided system of influence where the political machine and its power are highly concentrated in Florida by a certain class of expatriate Cubans who use their influence to favor right-wing extremism and get revenge on those who they feel have stolen from them. The president is dependent on right-wing political support that is in harmony with his own theory of self-engorgement at the expense of the working and middle class, and has learned to use the Florida political machine to greatly expand his kingdom. This is the reason we are starving an already suffering nation. Greed, greed, and more greed. It's disgusting and constitutes one of the most egregious crimes in modern history. What we fail to see in our ideological differences are babies starving to death, elderly people unable to get medication, human beings 90 miles due south of massive Piggly Wiggly supermarkets standing in line for blocks to compete for what's left on the shelves, barely able to afford to feed their families, and all of it caused by our economic stranglehold on Cuba and on nations that have economic relationships with Cuba. I beg anyone within the sound of my voice to act strongly to refuse the flimsy reasons given for inflicting cruelty on this beautiful island of fellow Americans. Cuba, as Bad Bunny pointed out, is part of the Americas. And to demand that this cancerous policy of hatred towards Cuba is ended immediately. I was in Havana when the joint announcements by Presidents Raul Castro and Barack Obama were made in 2014 that the United States and Cuba would begin a process of normalizing relationships. And for a brief moment, Cuba was released from the criminal treatment we've inflicted on them for decades. Businesses were started. Bellies were full, tourists were plentiful, cruise ships were docking, and the dignity of the Cuban people was reaffirmed because they were allowed self-sufficiency dependent only on their own ingenuity and on the free market that was created without violating their sovereignty. This is what can happen when this nation, led by the last great president, can do for others. This is what can happen when this nation does not practice invading and dictating to other sovereign nations how they should govern and how they should think. Non-consenting entities, whether they are countries or individuals, must not and cannot be forced into relations of any sort. That was the America that was great, the one that respected the rights of other nations and protected its own citizenry instead of executing them in the streets in the thinly disguised racism posing as pursuit of supposed criminal immigration. I ask again that you stand on the side of human compassion and imagine yourself on the brink of unnecessary destruction. Imagine your son or daughter, your mother or father, your loved ones literally dying because the richest nation on earth, driven by greed and partisan politics, demands that you relinquish your sovereignty and adopt their broken system. Thank you.